and welcome to our Delaware Valley. I'm Laura Lewis, and with us today from the American Lung Association, we have the Chief Mission Officer, Deb Brown. Welcome back.
Thank you, Laura. It's so nice to see you again.
It is. It is so good to have you back here. You do such good work throughout the year for us, for everybody. And let's get started with a real quick, the mission of the Lung Association, and then let's talk about its history.
Sure. Well, the American Lung Association is the leading public health organization working to save lives by improving lung health and preventing lung disease. And we do that in three ways. We do it through education, we do it through advocacy and research. And we were founded about 115 years ago by a group of volunteers dedicated to ending the lung health threat at that time, which was tuberculosis. And I think it's really important and quite interesting to note that the Delaware Valley has some very rich history with the American Lung Association. So during the 20th century, when tuberculosis was the leading cause of death in the U.S., physicians were experiencing some of the first signs of success in treating tuberculosis by using special hospitals called sanatoriums. And one of those facilities had fallen on tough times, and it was a tiny Delaware sanatorium on the Brandywine River. And it really would have to close its doors if they couldn't raise $300 to save it. And so one of the doctors explained the plight to his cousin, who was a veteran fundraiser, and she soon came up with a plan that was based on something that had been implemented in Denmark. And she would design and print special holiday seals and sell them at the post office for a penny each. And she started in Wilmington, Delaware, didn't have a lot of success, but somehow she was able to get the Philadelphia newspaper at that time to put a banner across the top of the paper and talk about donating for tuberculosis. And by the end of her holiday campaign, she and a large group of very committed volunteers had raised 10 times the goal. And Christmas seals, which is still a tradition at the American Lung Association, was born.
I remember Christmas seals. I mean, I grew up with them. And isn't it? And it's amazing we forget what a scourge tuberculosis was. And you're saying the leading cause of death, consumption.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And so we've come a long ways with diagnostic tools and treatment and things like that. But tuberculosis still exists this day. It's largely controlled in the United States. And as a result of that, the American Lung Association has really moved their mission to other diseases. And we're just excited, though, that we have part of that history here in the Delaware Valley, and we're able to help people no longer have to suffer from tuberculosis.
Now, tuberculosis was obviously, that is a disease that is spread. And we're going to talk a little bit, and we're going to talk obviously about lung cancer too, but a lot of lung diseases are not, I don't want to say diseases, in that they are spread person to person by a germ, a bacteria, a virus. So many of them are environmental.
Yeah, so there's nearly 37 million Americans who live with chronic lung diseases like asthma or COPD or interstitial lung disease, or you could probably name, you know, 5 or 10 others. But there, you know, we do have a real cost to lung disease, not only from a financial perspective, but through death and disability to loved ones. And the quality of life for many of these patients living day to day, struggling to breathe, is very real. And that's where we like to say the American Lung Association comes in, and we offer a variety of services and programs to help those who are suffering from lung disease. But we also think it's really important to learn how to protect your lungs. The lungs are a little different from some of the other organs in your body because they're very delicate tissue. And they're directly connected to the outside environment, which means anything you breathe in can affect your lungs.
And you, of course, your advocacy work. We're going to talk about that because, I mean, without you, I don't know how many people would still be puffing away. And you've got new dangers now with vaping that we'll be getting into. But you touched on the cost of this and the effect on quality of life. This is an expensive issue.
It can be, not only, as I say, from the cost that's associated with healthcare costs, but just the personal aspects of you know, sometimes being a caregiver, sometimes being a loved one who's watching your mother, brother, father, sister, friend, you know, suffer each day with a lung disease, and trying to manage that disease can be very costly. But one of the things that we do encourage people to do is think about ways to protect their health. And we encourage people to, you know, make sure that you don't ever start smoking. That's a pretty simple one. And everyone, I think, hears that. If you smoke, quit smoking, avoid secondhand smoke. Make sure that if you're exposed to dust and fumes, for example, at your work, that you're protecting yourself with gear and trying to minimize or eliminate some of that exposure. And then air pollution. You know, we work with so many communities, and we encourage people to work in their community to help clean up the air that you and your family breathe. As I said, your lungs are directly connected to that outside environment. And so we want to make sure that you're breathing clean, healthy air.
Well, let's go back to your mission then: education, advocacy, and research. And towards that, I mean, you have programming and you have initiatives. Where would you like to start? Do you want to start with lung cancer?
Sure, I'd love to start with lung cancer. The American Lung Association, we work from a framework that we call our strategic imperatives, but we work to defeat lung cancer, to champion clean air, to improve the quality of life for those with lung disease and their families, and to create a tobacco-free future. So when we're talking about lung cancer and defeating lung cancer, I think it's really important that individuals recognize lung cancer is the number one cancer killer of both women and men in the United States. And so the American Lung Association continues to raise awareness and help individuals raise their voices so that they can defeat this devastating disease. And we look to fund millions of dollars of research to find cures, to prevent it, and to relieve any kind of suffering associated with lung cancer. And we do that through one of our main efforts is our Lung Force campaign. And turquoise is the color that we wear to represent our Lung Force efforts and helping those with lung cancer. And so our team Turquoise has about 140,000 very strong voices. And each year we do something called Turquoise Takeover. And it's to raise awareness about lung cancer. And I know, Laura, I think you're going to wear some turquoise. And I think the station is going to do some turquoise type activities. So we're very appreciative of that. But we'll be illuminating landmarks and encouraging news anchors to wear turquoise across the Delaware Valley. And the week-long takeover to show support is from May 8th to the 14th. And just a sampling of a couple buildings, we have the AAA building, Legislative Hall in Delaware, Rehoboth City Hall and Bandstand. We have the Triad building in New Jersey. We have the Philadelphia Airport, the Philadelphia Convention Center. So you can see it's just something that's really big.
I'm embarrassed to admit this, but it just now, for the first time, hit me why turquoise. It's the color of air.
It's a very fresh and healthy color. That is correct. Yes.
And this turquoise takeover does include Mother's Day in it. And it's, you know, we don't think about women and lung disease, but that lung cancer, the number one cancer killer of women.
Women and men. And it's so important that we educate individuals. And just to kind of talk about something else that we do that I think really goes along with this turquoise takeover is the American Lung Association has a campaign called Saved by the Scan. And the campaign is really to encourage individuals to go to lung.org and take a Saved by the Scan quiz. And the short quiz helps you determine if you're at high risk or eligible for a low-dose CT scan. And it's screening is so important to the early detection of lung cancer, because we know if lung cancer can be diagnosed at an early stage, it's more likely to be curable. So we want to make sure that while we're talking about not only lighting up buildings and anchors wearing turquoise, that we're reminding people to go and make sure that they take the quiz to see if they're at high risk.
Now, when we talk about high risk, obviously, if I'm smoking two packs a day or I'm inhaling chemicals on the job, I feel like I'm going to be high risk. But so many non-smokers also get lung cancer. Is there any other population that is getting a disproportionate number of cases or having trouble being diagnosed early?
Well, I think we have community. We know that communities of color are disproportionately impacted by lung cancer. And so, you know, it's really important for people, as I said, to know that being at high risk, you can develop lung cancer, and we encourage you to get screened. And I just want to mention, here's the screening criteria. If you're 50 to 80 years of age, if you have a 20-pack year history of smoking, this means if you've smoked one pack a day for 20 years, two packs a day for 10 years, and if you're a current smoker or have quit within the last 15 years, you will be qualified or eligible to be able to get a screening. Mass screening now, right now for all individuals is not a best practice. This is what we have, and this is why we're encouraging this. The age group just changed, so we know that there are more people that will be screened, and we're hoping, as I said, we can increase the survival rate for so many people that are afflicted by lung cancer.
Should we move on then to another big impact on us, and that's asthma?
Sure. So asthma is something that we also see a lot of at the American Lung Association. We do a lot of work with adults and children, mainly, you know, making sure that they understand how important it is to manage their disease. You know, asthma is something that it's a chronic life chronic disease. It can be life-threatening. There's no cure for asthma right now. The best thing that you can do is to properly manage the condition with medications and just know a little bit about what directly triggers your asthma so that you're able to either avoid some of those things or you're able to make sure that you're managing the medications to help you with that. And basically, asthma is where your airways become swollen and extra sensitive when they're exposed to certain things. They start to produce additional mucus and really kind of swell and tighten up. And so it's really hard to get air in and out.
Unfortunately, I think we all know of somebody who's suffering from asthma, and we all know of someone who has, died by an asthma attack. It puts a lot of people in hospital rooms, in the emergency room, and in it, too, also affects communities because it's the environmental triggers.
Absolutely. And you know, going back to, again, the cost associated, I mean, I want to be very clear, you know, there is loss of life, as you mentioned, but so many people have to work, miss work days, miss school days because they are sick from their asthma. They're unable to partake in particular activities. They might have sports, or they might be doing something else in the community and unable as a result of their asthma at that point in time. So that's why it's so important at the American Lung Association that we provide programs that help people learn more about their asthma, what their triggers are. You know, do they have an action plan so that they know what to do if they find themselves in trouble?
Let's touch then a little bit about your programming that you do for individuals, and then let's get into advocacy, because that's where you have some wonderful success stories.
Sure. So some of the programs that we do, we have something called Open Airways for Schools. So we go in and we work with children in the school setting. We work with children in after-school programs. Again, making sure that they understand what's happening with their body when they have asthma. We also offer information through something called the Better Breathers Network to adults. They can get a newsletter or other information that's directly linked to asthma information. We have a program called Live Well, Breathe Well, which is an adult asthma management program. And people can go on our website. They can look at this information. They can see what might fit them best. We have a program for middle school children called Kickin' Asthma. So there's lots of options, and we kind of make sure that we're working from the very beginning of school age to up until, you know, adult age. And if somebody just wants to learn, maybe they have somebody in their family who has asthma, you can go to our website, and we have something called Asthma Basics. And it's just a simple little course that you can take, no pressure, anything like that, but just to learn more.
You know, that you kind of touched on two areas right there, advocacy and education, because when you talk about kick asthma, there's you get school children, you get teens, you get youth involved in your programs, working towards educating others, working in peer groups on smoking and vaping and clean air and all of these issues.
That is true. We have something in pretty much every, well, in the Delaware Valley, in our states, in the Delaware Valley, we have programs for teens. And we educate them about, as you said, tobacco and vaping, the environment, and how to talk to decision makers to make changes. So a decision maker might be a principal of a school, you know, to make sure that certain things are happening in their school to protect everyone. It might be a legislator at the General Assembly. But we really try to encourage young people to become leaders and to become advocates for issues that are important to them and important to the people that they love and the communities that they live in.
And of course, we know that they are passionate about the environment. And we're going to get into that next. But first, hey, if you're just joining us, I'm Laura Lewis. This is Our Delaware Valley. My guest today is Deb Brown. She is the Chief Mission Officer for the American Lung Association here. And if you would like more information about absolutely everything that we have talked about, whether it is Saved by the Scan, maybe it is one of the asthma programs or one of the youth initiatives, you can find it all at lung.org. That's lung.org. They also have a hotline, and that is a real easy one to find, 1-800-LUNG-USA. That's LUNG-USA, 7 days a week, 7 to 7. They have information there, and they can talk to you, maybe talk you down when you have questions. That's 1-800-LUNG-USA. Let's go into the advocacy right now. When we think about a tobacco bill, gosh, you guys are behind it. Clean air standards, you guys are behind it. The annual State of the Air comes out in the spring. You do reports on vehicle emissions. Does anybody do more for the air than the Lung Association?
We have lots of partners, specifically public health partners, but we do work to protect public health from air pollution so that we can assure all Americans have air that is safe and healthy to breathe. And I'll mention, since you mentioned it, I believe, that we also promote the use of electric vehicles, which help address climate change and advance clean air policies. And we are coming up in the next couple week, well, next week, I guess, on the 30th, we will be issuing a report on transitioning to zero emission vehicles and trucks. And we know that if you transition to zero emission transportation solutions, that you can significantly reduce harmful pollutants. And we encourage people to do that. And last year, we did a report, and we found that by 2050, tens of thousands of asthma attacks will be avoided. Tens of billions of dollars in healthcare costs will be avoided as a result of significant pollution reduction. And we know that there would be a significant reduction in greenhouse gases that really drive climate change impacts on air quality and public health. And so we are advocating for the transportation sector, which is a leading contributor to climate change and air pollution, to transition to zero emission vehicles and trucks. And I hope that your listeners will go to our website next week and take a look at the new report. I think that they will be very impressed with the public health benefits that they will see. And it's a state-by-state report, so anyone in the Delaware Valley can look at their particular state and learn a little bit more about how they can become involved in that process.
I have an electric vehicle, and but yet I'm still sitting in traffic behind, you know, polluters or delivery vans, et cetera. So it will take a big initiative to get us all behind the wheel of one. You mentioned climate change, and so the temperature, nature itself wreaks havoc on the air quality. When you do air, you're looking also at pollen, you're looking at ash from fires, you're looking at heat and how heat pushes down on the environment. You do so much research and work. Do you want to talk a little bit about some of those initiatives too?
Sure. Well, again, you know, we know that, as you said, temperature changes and weather changes really cause special burdens on vulnerable populations. And so one of the things that the American Lung Association does each year is we release our annual State of the Air report, and that's coming out in April this year. And it really looks at how states and metropolitan areas and counties fare with ozone, short-term and long-term pollution. And so we know that it really does impact them. We know that wildfires contribute to a lot of this. And, you know, while we may not have a wildfire in our backyard, air pollution does travel. Particle pollution does travel across the country. And so our previous report showed that, you know, despite the having some nationwide progress on cleaning up air pollution, more than 40% of Americans still live in unhealthy ozone or particle pollution areas. And people of color were significantly more likely to breathe polluted air than white people. And so as a nation, we at the Lung Association continue to address climate change and looking for ways to reduce air pollution. And we have to prioritize the health of disproportionately burdened communities. And we have many of those in the Delaware Valley that are, you know, suffering along the ports of our states and, you know, in some of the city areas with factories and things like that. We know that we have to make sure that we're working hard to clean up that air pollution and that we're helping them breathe a little easier.
I mentioned vaping earlier, too, and the Lung Association was one of the leaders in pointing out the dangers of nicotine and in smoke and secondhand smoke. Research that you're conducting on our current bad behaviors or enjoyable but bad behaviors.
Sure. Well, every year we know that 500,000 people in the United States die from tobacco caused diseases, and thousands of young people start using particularly e-cigarettes. And so we continue to provide education. And just recently, the National Youth Tobacco Survey came out, and it shows that overall high school tobacco use rate, so that's cigarettes, e-cigarettes, and everything, is about 13.4%. But again, it showed a disparity that 17.4% of students identifying as lesbian, gay, or bisexual, and 24.5% of students identifying as transgender and 17.6% of students reporting severe psychological distress really showed the elevated use by those particular individuals. And so it's really important that we continue our work to make sure that young people never start using any tobacco product, whether it's cigarettes, whether it's vaping, whether it's cigars. You know, we have to make sure that we continue to talk about the harms of those, because youth use flavored cigars and menthol cigarettes. That is, you know, remaining unacceptably high. I will mention in 2020, 12.5 of the United States adults smoke cigarettes, and that's the lowest number since data became available in 1965. So we've made some progress in smoking cigarettes. When you look at total adult use overall, which would include e-cigarettes, cigars, chew, and all of those things, we still have about 19% of the population smoking. So overall, about 47.1 million adults still use tobacco products.
Wow. You have programs to get people off of that habit, too.
We do. At the American Lung Association, we have a Freedom from Smoking program, which is ranked as one of the most effective cessation programs in the country. It has helped hundreds of thousands of people quit smoking for good. And we have it available in a variety of formats. And again, I would encourage people, if you don't know where to start when you're trying to think about how you quit smoking, use that 1-800-LUNG-USA number and call our helpline. They can help you design the program that, or utilize the program that works, might work best for you. But we also have programs for young people who want to quit smoking. We have a program called Not on Tobacco, and it's a voluntary quit smoking program for teens ages 14 to 19. And we have it in many of the schools in the Delaware Valley. We also have a program called In Depth, and it's an alternative for students who face suspension for violation of a school tobacco, vaping, or nicotine use policy. And it really helps them to participate in interactive educational sessions so that they can get a better understanding of what their behavior is doing to them.
And of course, all of this takes money. You've got fundraisers coming up, and we got 5 minutes now. Let's talk about those fundraisers, because
Sure.
They're fundraisers.
Thank you. It is fun. And if people want to get involved in the American Lung Association, there are multiple ways that they can do that. And they can volunteer, first of all, for one of the special events that we do, or just in general, they can help us advocate for lung disease. But we have a Fight for Air climb that will be held at 3 Logan Square on April 9th. And you climb 1,088 steps up, all the way up to the top floor. And for those who can't, we also have a Lung Force walk at Philadelphia Head House Square on May 14th. And we have Delaware and New Jersey walks in the fall. So there's always something happening for individuals who want to get involved. And, you know, you don't have to be a pro to climb those stairs, just for the record. You know, you can one step at a time, just as we do so many other things.
And that's an annual event, isn't it?
It is an annual event, and we are back in person this year, which is very exciting.
And now we find out more information about all of this at your website, including how to volunteer, how to get a class. Do you have information for educators or civic groups that maybe have youth involved in their programming and they'd like to start something?
There are so many opportunities at lung.org, so I encourage everyone to utilize the resources that are available. Yes, there are all types of toolkits available for anyone who is interested in implementing a program in their community, in their school, after school programs, or they can call 1-800-LUNG-USA and we'll get back to them with more information.
And of course, that's the easiest one of all, 1-800, so it's toll free, 1-800-LUNG-USA, 7 days a week, 7 to 7. You can give them a call. That's 1-800-LUNG-USA. Or, of course, you can always go to lung.org. Lung.org will hook you up with a program that is the closest to you, wherever you may be listening to this. But you'll find out all the information about their smoking cessation programming, the youth programs that they have. Find out more. Take the quiz and find out if Saved by the Scan is going to get you in front of that low-dose scan to find out, you know, how your lungs are doing right now. It's all there at lung.org. Deb, thanks for being on today.
My pleasure. And thank you for always advocating for people to take steps to make sure that they are living a healthy life.
And that's an easy one. Go to lung.org. You'll find out more information there about everything we talked about, all the reports that are coming out, and, of course, all the programming that they offer, lung.org. My guest today, Deb Brown, Chief Mission Officer for the American Lung Association. Thanks, Deb. I'm Laura Lewis. This has been our Delaware Valley.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com.